Hello, and welcome to the Facility Executive Podcast, where we discuss the latest trends and strategies in facility design, operation, and maintenance. I'm your host, Jennifer Getz, the Editorial Director of Facility Executive. Today, I'm joined by Donnie Stern, the Senior Director of Product Management for Commercial Real Estate for Honeywell. He is passionate about a deep persona-led approach to solving customer pain points and working with key customers to understand business outcomes better while spending time on the ground at customer facilities. Donnie, thank you for being here today.
Thank you, Jen, for having me, and thank you for the partnership with Facility Executive.
Of course, of course. So kind of to get started, how is hybrid and remote work evolving now that the worst of the pandemic seems to be behind us? Would you say that companies are more focused on enticing employees to come back into the office or are more interested in finding ways to connect with employees remotely?
That's a wonderful question because we're all in this, right? As employees ourselves, and we see our friends, our family, and both in the industry, how companies are evolving that. So I would say the answer is probably somewhere in the middle. We see more and more companies, and we think companies think that those large tenants that are were focused on bringing employees fully back to the office, or some of them that switch to remote work completely. And the truth is, it's really evolving in the middle. So we see hybrid work as companies announcing 3+2 models, where you kind of do 3 days from the office, 2 days from home, or vice versa. Some companies are more flexible than others in terms of location. Some companies are more flexible in terms of choosing the days that you want. But we can say absolutely that the companies are looking for ways to bring employees together, even if they're remote or in the office at the same time. And the key here is collaboration. And really the impact of going to the office really comes down to three parts. One is culture. Companies had a tough time during the pandemic where everybody switched to 100% remote to maintain and conserve company culture, which made those companies so unique and successful to begin with. Because it's kind of hard to replicate when everybody's remote, especially when onboarding so many new employees. And so that company culture part is very important for them to do in person in the office, because that kind of trickles all the way to also when the employees work remote. Second is in-person collaboration. So there's a lot of remote collaboration tools, and we also saw the rise of the Zooms, the Teams, the murals of the world. But at the same time, that body language, those knowledge worker going into a room and doing in-person collaboration, when a person and a couple go and whiteboard something together and brainstorm, and that in-person collaboration produced really great results and outcomes for those employers. And they would like to allow those employees to have that. And I'll tell you more, we see more and more employees and surveys that we do and research or how that's more and more important to the employees to collaborate in person to some extent of their time to get those deeper outcomes from their work that they want to achieve. And finally is the social aspect of it, where all of us as human beings, we work in order to fulfill our professional ambitions and our work goals, but at the same time to create social ties. And in a world when everybody's remote and not really seeing each other in person, there's another value of going to the office, interacting with others, grabbing lunch together with your team and with other coworkers, networking internally. So all of those together really bringing that values of in-office work. At the same time, there's absolute values for remote work, which employees are getting the benefits for, right? There's no commute. I don't need to get ready. I have more time with my kids or my family or my hobbies. So it's really the combination of both that both employees and employers are getting ready to. How do you see that from your end, Jen, and what you hear in the industry?
So I'm seeing very similar kind of trends on my end. I just attended a trade show recently and spoke with a variety of different facility managers in different sectors who essentially all kind of said the same thing, that hybrid work is still very much top of mind and how to navigate this landscape moving forward. And then on the other hand, just from personal experience, I've heard people kind of discussing, it's hard when to connect with people, as you mentioned, just being not in person and not having that same time to collaborate in a nice like setting in an office
Right.
area. It's just it really it's so beneficial to have that time.
Absolutely, absolutely. I really agree, and I would like to see how that thought evolves.
Absolutely. So can you kind of walk us through what you envision the office space might look like in the next, say, 5 to 10 years? Do you think there'll be any major changes to what we're already seeing put in place?
Absolutely. That's interesting because if you take 10 years back, if you think about the Googles of the world that created that very attractive workplace where you have occupant experience and employee amenities in a, and technology implemented in the building. And what you see right now is that occupant experience and attraction of the workplace becoming more and more mainstream. So almost in every new office development and even retrofits, and when you see tenants that are moving in into their spaces, so looking how to make their space a hybrid workplace, they're putting a lot of those technologies in. If it's occupant experience and applications and the frictionless experiences, what I see that evolve in 5 to 10 years is one, we're going to see that across the board. So we have a major inventory of the built environment, right? That existing buildings that will be retrofitted, both in terms of technologies and in terms of appearance, that will make them attractive to that new workforce, to make them work with hybrid workplace, to be the building to be truly fully sustainable. So we're talking about carbon neutral buildings. We're talking about electrification. We're talking about the occupant experience to become a main goal. And that's when we talk about that, we include the visitors for the building. We include the people that work in the building for those employers. And we also include the contractors that are coming to visit and the people that work for the property manager and the owner that maintain the building. All of them will be fully connected. Applications will be across the board. And of course, anything from phone applications and wearables and the impact of AI will be basically like in every role we do. So in Honeywell, we recently opened our new headquarters in Charlotte, and it's probably one of the smartest, if not the smartest building currently open in the world, where employees currently, they go into the office, the building knows them, the parking just opens, the elevator is already waiting for them. They walk in, biometrics identifies them, it knows where the meeting is. They get to the office, they just pull their phone, they control anything from temperature to lights to they see where we're going to see all of that and more evolving into the workplace. So AI, sustainability, the access, all of that will be really deep into the built environment 5 to 10 years from now.
Wow. What has the reaction been to your headquarters in Charlotte?
Wow, it has been really, really exciting. Honestly, we had over 750 customer and partners tours in the 1 year that the building is open. That's more than two a day. That has been people going in and wanting to experience themselves, and anyone from the employees of Honeywell and other companies to CEOs of very, very large corporations. Coming and really experiencing for themselves, experiencing for themselves what is that smart building. It's videos and decks, that's one way to observe it, but walking into that and seeing how it's fully automated and you just walk right in and everything is done for you and you focus on your work really and all those applications to interact directly with building is right in your fingertips. And you know what? It not only the reaction of the people that visit the building, also the market reaction, because that building recently sold for I think the first or second highest ever premium paid in the history of the city of Charlotte for a commercial office building. So if that's not proof, that then what is, to how that kind of immersive experience really to help differentiate the building, not only for the tenant but also for the building owner.
And that's wow, that's awesome. One of the other things that I was going to talk about is kind of segue into sustainability. And one, I've heard some recent statistics that say how building a sustainable building can really impact a commercial building's value if you make it more of a sustain if you take more of a sustainable approach to it. So one of the questions I have is, since everyone is really talking about sustainability, what are you hearing in the industry?
Absolutely. And Honeywell has been at the front of sustainability in the office industry. Recently, we launched a new business division called SBT, Honeywell Sustainable Building Technologies, where we launched the first ever fully optimized AI machine learning led sustainability solution set. We call it the Honeywell Building Sustainability Manager. And the reaction to that has been overwhelming. Because of the trends in the industry. So directly to your question, Jen, companies around the world, and you can see that in almost every Fortune 500 companies, has announced very, very ambitious net zero goals, 2030, 2025, 2035. A lot of time they announce it and now they're going to go and do it. And, supply chain and manufacturing and the way they deliver the product is, of course, one very important aspect of that. But the second aspect of that, companies with 100,000 employees have a tremendous real estate portfolio where their employees basically go to work. They commute to work, they engage in work, and that is a major component of that net zero commitments. And what we see is a major push from those tenants towards the building owners that they mostly lease their space from around that sustainable building, if it's emission reduction. If it's a smarter use of space, if when you have hybrid work, for example, is a major opportunity for sustainability because you can do more employees in less space. The use of advanced technologies that basically take the forecasting and sensors and add the AI component to it, which is the solution we just launched that completely automate not only your sustainability and emission reduction, but has clear business case to it with district energy savings. And a lot of times when you see big government push, if it's other, we see in the US, we see that in Europe, but we also see that in local governments. If you see that in Washington, for example, when you have specific incentives and you can also have penalties depending on your carbon emissions. And New York City is the same. So we really see a push from the government. We see a push for the tenants. And all of that goes to the foot of the building owners that today, more than ever, through their property managers, through their building engineers, need to reinvent the space, to rethink their investments, to rethink how they open their systems, cooperate with the tenants. But the good news is that there's a really clear business case here. And we work with a couple of our leading customers and we co-innovate with them how, even in a world of a triple net lease environment, where the tenant has most of the benefits for the operations of the building and the energy use of the building, if they're going to reduce that, the tenant is maintaining, keeping most of those benefits. And we work with building owners and with tenants to build that value chain, to build that business case that allows to achieve sustainability, net zero goals, reduce the emissions, reduce the energy bills, and have a mechanism where both the owner and the tenant implement those technologies and have business returns for both sides of it. And it's better for the world, it's better for the employees, it's better for the tenant, and it's of course good for the building owner as well. So it's really a trend that it's highly accelerating now. You can't go anywhere without hearing sustainability, right?
Yes, absolutely. No, you can't go anywhere without hearing it these days. And it's funny because you mentioned that, we really have to kind of reinvent a lot of these spaces. So for a facility manager, kind of taking the first steps to, work towards achieving net zero carbon emissions, what advice might you have for where they can really get started, especially for facility managers that might be kind of heading more aging buildings that need a lot of work just to update their total infrastructure. But do you have any advice for them?
Yeah, absolutely. And I think the main advice I could have is you do not need to rip and replace all of the core hardware that you have in place. You might get there, you might change, end up doing an energy conservation project, and you might want to decide to do changes like that. However, you can get started very, very easily. In the solutions that we just launched, for example, they're software-based solutions that are layered on top of your existing hardware. It doesn't matter who your BMS provider is, and it doesn't matter what your existing sensor structure is. We can go and add a layer on top of it that does AI optimization. It's a software as a service model, so there's not a lot of capital investment from the owner side or the property manager side. So my advice to you is look for a partner that doesn't just come to you and say, let's just rip out the entire building and put in a new one, because that's the easiest thing to do, but the most costly and time-consuming thing to do. Work with a partner, and we absolutely do that at Honeywell Building Technologies through our sustainability business, that could look at your portfolio, help you assess it, and help deploy smart technologies that take the benefit of the cloud compute to really reduce energy and emissions, but at the same time report on it. Because remember, all of those tenants that care about sustainability and all of those local governments, measuring and reporting is equally as important as reducing. And we in Honeywell take care of all of that, from assessing to measurement to reduction, automation of that, and then finally constant reporting of those in the tools and in the type of KPIs that local governments, the tenants are looking for in order to claim credit for that, in order to not get the penalties of that, and end up going in all the way to their sustainability report that those tenants has. So that's kind of, it's not that complicated to start, and it's a journey, and we would love to be on that journey with you.
Awesome. Yeah, no, I know there are so many solutions that I see available to help kind of propel the buildings and the office space of the future. So I'm kind of curious to know from your perspective, do you think that we have a lot of solutions available now that we're just a lot of buildings aren't implementing? And if so, you know, how can we encourage more people to get on board?
Is that, do you mean for sustainability overall or for overall new experience within the built environment?
A new experience overall within the built environment.
Yeah, and you know what we see is that, and I mentioned earlier, there was a big push towards occupant experience combined with sustainability. But the biggest blocker for that push right now is funding. Why? It's a perfect storm. Everybody wants it. Everybody wants to have a building that you walk in and it's automated and it's a tremendous occupant experience and it's sustainable. But the problem is, and the classic problem is incentives, because building owners traditionally, they have a very strict business model, right? You pay your rent, you have a lease type, a lot of times triple net lease. So as a tenant, you pay for a portion of the cost of operating the building and you pay for the energy bills of the building. And your building is providing the lobby, it's providing the building, it's providing the, you know, security and cleaning, and you're in charge of your tenant space. But all of that is really evolving when you think about experience of a visitor, experience of an occupant. It starts before someone even planned to go to the office. It starts with technologies and applications to plan your arrival, and it's directly calls for connectivity and integration to core building systems. And that experience starts physically when someone drives into, and the parking deck a lot of times is operated by a third party. And then it continues in the lobby, which a lot of times there are all these different access control systems are called different tenant, and continues within the tenant floor. So it's really incentives, open integration, ability to everybody has the same data schema, ability to have systems that talk to each other. To be able to really deliver on that occupant experience, a sustainable building. And you do that one by having the correct building systems and open integrations, and by having the correct application layer on top of it. But at the same time, by understanding that there is incentives for the building owners and incentives for the tenants, and there's a joint reasons and incentives to solve that together. So what we see today is building owners and tenants sitting together and opening up their systems and agreeing on all of that, because it is really so important to deliver that future of the built environment.
And it's interesting you mention just how to communicate a lot of these data systems. And I've spoken to different facility managers who shared with me that even though some of them are retired, they're still answering phone calls from people who are still trying to gather information about buildings, which kind of leads into more of just in general succession planning and having a data management system that enables the building to kind of be constantly updated and that the information can be shared with all employees. Is that something you think is just going to be more commonplace moving into the future?
Absolutely. And it's funny you say that, because our customers tell it to us all the time. They basically, and it doesn't matter where technology will get to, you cannot replace that person that for the last 35 years know every screw of that boiler, every control, every little aspect of it. But we built systems that can get pretty close to it. But onboarding, training of that new entrance into the workforce that are, and you know, people that have been retiring from that business are still such an important place of knowledge. So I definitely said that continues where buildings owners and facility managers will struggle with that. Or how do we replace that knowledge that has been for dozens of years? Luckily, we and there's more solutions like the industry have solutions that really analyze data and built on learning data from thousands of buildings. You know, Honeywell Building Controls is installed in 10 million buildings today, and it's really that use of big data and to forecast and have predictive maintenance that tells you what is going to happen, take action on that, and then tells you what you need to be doing. That's one thing. And the second thing of it is that connecting that with the basically system of record of information in that building. So it's not all in the head of one person or so. And we have in our Forge business a host of solutions that do just that. So yeah, I believe, and we already see trends of that, right? With using of, you know, metaverse style glasses to help train employees on how to fix certain issues. You see that with full automation of actions and recommendations of what to take. And in Honeywell, what we're launching is digital twin capabilities that not only recommend on actions to take, but also allows you to deploy them virtually without doing any real changes to have the twin basically calculate and anticipate what the impacts of your actions will be before you actually take the action. So you know if you're going to change that set point, what will be the reaction down the chain. So Jen, I will say a lot of exciting adapting of technologies is happening. I don't think 10, 15 years ago, anyone would have forecast that, you know, commercial real estate technologies will be such an exciting place to be at and will be such a tremendous contributor for the business.
No, it's so exciting to see how quickly things have changed in such a short amount of time. So today we've covered so many different things, from kind of the impact of hybrid work to the different technologies that'll make up the future of the office space and the built environment, along with a lot of how sustainability will play a role. Kind of to come to a close, in respect to the future of the built environment, you know, what would you say are some of the greatest challenges facility professionals are facing today? And what do you think are some of their greatest opportunities?
Yeah, you know, one of the biggest challenges that they're facing today is that they have a lot of problems, but they have way more options to choose from. And they're telling us that this has been very, very consuming, time consuming for them. Because when you have, you know, 50 vendors a week or in 2 weeks, basically offering you a new digital twin, a new occupant experience, a new application, a new dashboard, a new sensor, a new solution, it's becoming very, very overwhelming. And we're talking about busy people that they have buildings to run. And I think that's a challenge, right? Like it's like there's so much technology. All those vendors and all those technologies and investment going in commercial real estate, but at the end of the day, it's a major challenge of adoption. That it's there's a lot of noise, I would say. The second thing that is a major challenge, which I mentioned that earlier, is the financial aspect of it.
Of course.
It's buildings and for sure property managers worked on certain margins that they need to have in order to run their business. And buildings owner have certain expectations of investment going into the building, and solving for the financials and the value chain of it, including new financial capabilities, and things like that will be really, really important. But again, occupant experience in sustainability is a major, major source of opportunity for the buildings because now, for the first time, beside just rent, owners have an ability to have a new stream of revenue. So if before that they could had just one stream of revenue, now they can offer services such as consulting services for occupant experience. They can offer that AI ML based energy reduction and reporting efforts that takes 15 or 20% lower energy because of advanced technologies that they implement in the building. And they're certainly working with us today to create new revenue streams out of it for them. So for all of those challenges, the opportunities in it are really massive, that allows to create a meaningful extra income to the building, and that goes directly to the bottom line of the wharf of that building. So I would say when you look at those challenges and you look at the opportunities really outweigh the challenges. But it's all about working together to solve them. We're working together now with a large customer that is already seeing the future now, electric vehicles. There's five charging stations right now. I think we had a beep, so I'll say it again. There's five charging stations right now in a commercial building. In a couple of years, there might be dozens, if not more than that, across the facility when everybody's going to have an electric vehicle. How do you manage that? How do you finance that? How do you balance the load of that without going into investment in infrastructure that will be overwhelming? All of that is example of challenges and opportunities at the same time that I know that at least we're in Honeywell are very excited to solve that along with our customers.
That's great. Yeah, I know there's so many different exciting things happening and, who knows, maybe even in the next year or two, we might see some massive changes across the board. It might not even take 5 to 10.
Absolutely,
Hopefully.
absolutely.
Hopefully. Well, hey, Donnie, thank you so much again for speaking with us today. I'm so glad we got to speak to you about the future of the built environment.
Awesome. Same for me. I really enjoyed this conversation. And again, I appreciate all the facility executive listeners that are listening to us right now. And thank you for having me.
Of course. And special thanks to Honeywell for sponsoring this podcast and to our audience for listening. Stay tuned for the next episode of the Facility Executive Podcast.